Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. I'd like to look at verses 35 and 36 this evening. Before we do, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, it's so good to be able to call on You. And Lord, we know unless You bless the Word tonight, Lord, it's just words. But Lord, if You bless it by Your Holy Spirit, when we hear, we perceive, we rejoice, Lord, we know that there is in that life. Lord, I pray that Christ might be honored. Help us to worship, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. In the last study that we had in this chapter, the apostle told the Hebrews, call to remembrance, that's verse 32, the former days. Put in mind, think back. It's good to remember. It's good to remember what the Lord has done for you. It's good to remember the grace and the mercy that He's shown us. And we can look back and see. I think of things for myself that I look back on now, and when I started going through them, they were grievous. Just, that wouldn't have been what I'd have picked. But I look back now, and I see, oh, that was such a blessing. How that caused me to call on the Lord. How that caused me to cry out unto Him at anything that He brings our way, causes us to cry unto Him. It's for our good. It's for His glory. Call to remembrance those former days. The reason that we call to remembrance is because Almighty God has given us the grace of faith. Now that faith, that grace, that is Almighty God working in you to believe Him. That's faith. God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We think back how we fought with a great fight of afflictions. And believers are afflicted right now. You're warring right now. There's warrings within, warrings without. Boy, I'll tell you, this world is just not our home, is it? This is not the land of promise. This is not the land of final peace and comfort, joy. Believers know that they've been made gazing stocks. That's what the apostle told them, partly while, verse 33, you were made gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. People stared at you, laughed at you, mocked you, made fun. Paul said, you had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. I know that the Hebrews, obviously, it had cost them greatly. There's no telling what they went through. There's no telling what they were having to give up. But the thing about it is, for a believer right now, as you call back to remembrance those former days and you think how the Lord has brought you through all that you have, what would you not give up right now if you had to? Now, I know this. Not every believer is called to give up all the things that he has. I know that. But if you had to, if you were brought to a point to where truly you believe that the Spirit of God was convicting you of something that you were doing, and it was, and you're going to have to just give it up. You're going to have to just say, you know what? I can't continue that. Would you do it? Sure you would. There you would. There you would. In time you would, for sure. Ask Jonah. Yeah, you would. He's going to cause us to be brought around. Well, what was it that enabled those converted Hebrews to bear up under their sufferings and trials and tribulations? Verse 34, latter part, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. What a believer knows, he knows personally. Your witnesses. A witness is one that has seen personally what he says. If you go to a courtroom, a judge or a jury is not interested in you telling what somebody else told you that they saw. A witness, a martyr, that's what it is. Martyr, saint, witness. Personal, one that has personally been taught. One that's personally seen. The Spirit of God, the Scripture says, bears witness with our spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, that we're God's people. Knowing in yourself what you know concerning God's mercy and God's grace to you, you know it. You know. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Knowing in yourselves what? That you have, that you possess in heaven, a better and an enduring substance. Everything here is temporal. Everything here is fading. Everything's falling apart around us, isn't it, Neil? It's not lasting. Our health, families. It just, everything's going, we're fading. One day be gone. But there, the Scripture says that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Whatever a believer is called upon to lose in this life, for Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake, is great gain. Great gain. Listen to this, Mark 10:29. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there's no man that hath left home, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Great trial. Trials of the heart are evidenced when we must choose between temporal loves and Christ. Families, possessions. What if you were called upon and you had to make a choice between gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and your family. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? But you'd do it. You'd do it. You'd do it. No man, having left home, brethren, sisters, for the gospel's sake. I heard Brother Henry say this one time. He said, for a believer. He said, a believer has brothers, sisters, and houses. Brother Henry said, I can go all over this world. And he said, I have a house. He said, there's people that I can go and I can stay. And he said, I'm welcome there with brothers and sisters and family and mothers and fathers. He said, no man ever loses anything when he forsakes all, if need be, for the sake of the gospel. So call to remembrance those former days. And then he says, and here's where we'll look for just a few minutes. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't be disheartened. That's what he's saying. Don't be discouraged. Don't be timid. Oh, how we must seek our Lord, who is our strength. How we must call upon Him. How great is it to know that all of our security is in Him and His faithfulness to us. He keeps us. He keeps us. He keeps us by His power, His grace, His love. And He does all things well. He orders all things for the good of His people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you what's going on in the country right now. That which is good for God's people. That which is honoring to our Lord. That's what's going on in this world, this country, this state, whatever. He's ordered and ordained our lot. In this life, in this world, for His good, not for our good, His glory. So be steadfast. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Be unmovable. Always abounding, the apostle says, in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not. I think about the work, the things here. I was telling one of the men the other day, he was talking about the newspaper articles and how thankful I am that they run them a lot. Somebody said, I wonder if it's anybody responded. I said, that's not the question. The question is faithfulness. Put the word. He said, my word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. That's what. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know that evil is present. I know that we're weak and powerless without Him. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How, Lord? How is it? What is it to be strong in the Lord? I've said before, make much of the means of God's grace. He's given us a place to worship. Make much of hearing the gospel preached. Ask before you get here. Lord, would you bless the preaching? Lord, would you bless the word to my heart? Lord, would you save my kids? Lord, would you save my mama? Lord, would you allow the gospel to be here? Make much of the word of God being preached. Seek the Lord in prayer. These are evidences of life. This is not for life. Make much of the Scriptures. Read. Search the Scriptures daily to see if what your pastor's saying is so, and other men that are faithful to preach the gospel. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Now, let me ask you this. Where does that confidence, how does it manifest itself? Cast not away your confidence. That confidence is given, you know this, by Almighty God. And let me tell you three things that I jotted down that I can tell you that a believer rests upon concerning his confidence. Here we are, we're frail creatures of the dust, and we know, we're convinced that this life is but a vapor. We know that. Now, what is it that a believer has confidence in? Wherein lies your confidence? Where are you going to stand and say, this, I don't want to deviate from this right here. Let me tell you what the first one is. Number one, I'm convinced that the gospel that we preach is true. I believe that. I believe that this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that Almighty God blesses this message, the message that totally honors the Lord Jesus Christ, that message that is all of grace. I believe that Almighty God, based on His Word, I believe that God Himself chose to show mercy to whomsoever He would. I believe that, Gary. I believe that God elected a people. He said He did. He said He did. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for His people. I have confidence in that. I believe that that blood that was shed at Calvary put away the guilt that God's people were justified before the foundation of the world totally by grace, based upon the Father who first trusted in Christ, that saw the blood. I believe that the Spirit of God is going to effectually call out of darkness everyone that the Father chose and the Son redeemed. I believe that. I believe that man was totally ruined in the fall. I believe that he is absolutely helpless to do anything to reconcile himself back to God based on his own merit. I believe that God Almighty is going to save His people. I believe that. Cast not away your confidence. Be strong in the Lord. Here's the second thing I believe. This is what gives me some confidence. I believe that I have a personal interest in this. I truly believe that the Lord has saved me. I believe He's called me out of darkness. I see the frailty of my flesh, and it grieves me. And I'll try to seek the Lord. I'll try. Somebody will say, pray for me. And I'll tell them, I'll say, I'll try. I'll try. As the Lord brings you back to my memory, I'll try. But I absolutely believe that Almighty God has given me a heart for this gospel, this Christ set forth in this gospel. And I believe the reason that I have some confidence is because based on His Word, He said, "He that believeth on the Son, that looks to Him totally for life and salvation, apart from anything that I can do, he that believeth on the Son hath life." I believe that. I have confidence in that. I have no confidence. I know I don't. I have no confidence whatsoever in a profession of faith that I made or any other work of self-righteousness that I've done. I have no confidence in that. Cast not away your confidence. Here's the third thing. I believe that Almighty God is going to do what He says He's going to do. I believe that when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I believe that the trump of God is going to sound. I believe the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And I believe that those believers that are on this earth in that day, I think they're going to meet Him. I believe that. They're going to meet Him in the air, and they're going to forever be with the Lord. I believe in the day of judgment, I'm going to stand before God Almighty, just like every other man, every other woman's going to. And I believe in that day, the only merit that I'm going to have in that day is being robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and being found in Him. That's going to be all my hope. That's it right there. It's not going to be anything that I've done. It's not going to be any pleading. It's not going to be any plea bargaining. I believe that Almighty God is going to answer. His blessed Son is going to answer for me. That's all my hope. That's what David said. This is all my salvation. This is all of my hope. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Paul says, cast not away your confidence. When the Lord told Abram, Genesis 15:1, fear not, don't be afraid. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He is my confidence. If I can say that the Lord would say to me that I believe by faith, Marvin, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And oh, how fearful I can be. How frail I am. Frail creature, don't be afraid. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience. And boy, don't we. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After ye have done the will of God, what is that? Going through this world, believing God, believing Christ, cleaving to Him by faith, holding on to the end because He kept you by the power of God. Not because of any ability that I have. I want to hold on, I do. But I know this, if He doesn't keep me, I know what's going to happen to me. I need patience. I need a hopeful endurance to remain. That's what I need. That's what I need. I need for Almighty God to cause me to abide and not to flee. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay. And I see within me, that is in my flesh, I know that rebellion that I see still present. I know this. If Almighty God were to allow a man to do what He wanted to do, I know where he'd go. He'd run. He'd run. But knowing that this patience is never found within myself, I need to be reminded by the Spirit of God through God's Word, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." This world is full of conflicts and afflictions and trials. We need patience. I need endurance. That's what it is. Endurance. To stay. To continue. By faith, we stand when Satan and self questions the Lord's loving chastisements. When God sends chastisement, do you think that anything that has happened to you, is that a strange thing? No. He who loves you more than you could ever love yourself or your spouse or something, graciously has sent. We need patience. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Almighty God is going to cause patience to be wrought within us. We need patience, and He knows how to give it. And here's how it's going to be. Paul says, "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work of patience." I need to endure. I need to cry unto Him. I need to call unto Him. And I never call as I ought until He sends chastisement. And then I call. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Lord, if you leave me. Lord, if you're not here. Hebrews 6:12. "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." What promises? In closing, here it is, 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For all the promises of God in Him, promises that are yea and amen in Him, unto the glory of God by us." I need patience to endure, to not cast away my confidence. Things that I know are so, that God has taught me, and He's going to keep me. He's going to keep me following after Him. And the way that He's going to keep me following after Him, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens. You want your children to follow after you in obedience, don't you? Well, you tell them where the lines are. It's where the lines are. Almighty God is going to keep us and give us and place within us that patience through tribulation. And these promises of God made through Christ Jesus, that pertain to pardon of sin, sanctification of the Holy Spirit, set apart by God's Spirit for Almighty God, support in the trials that we face every day, and His guidance in the ordering of our steps, peace in the hour of our death. Oh, may the Lord give us patience that we might, by grace, realize, I am what I am by the grace of God. He's kept me. Lord, we need patience. We need endurance. I can't endure myself. Lord, help me for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, Brother Gary.